What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, but this is our second with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Well, guys, we had a long weekend of watching guys on film, and one of them got bumped out of the session because we found out today that Travis Benjamin's contract has been renegotiated and technically extended, even though I'll tell you it really wasn't extended. And then we'll get into a couple of voicemails. Thank you guys for calling into the show. And as always, if you call the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924, your voice will be on the show. So we have Brian and Luis playing their voicemails for you guys and answering some questions that they have regarding the draft and regarding Will Grier and other quarterbacks as well. And then we'll move into some more scouting that we've done. And the guys we're going to be talking about today are West Virginia quarterback Will Grier. So perfectly timed voicemail by Brian out of Westminster, who you've heard from before. And then in the last segment, we're going to talk about a guy that's been really hot in the Chargers mocks. A lot of guys talking about this small school guy, Kalen Saunders, defensive tackle out of Western Illinois. Yes, that's really a school, and it's technically Division I. But we'll get into Kalen Saunders and talk about what we think about him, because he is obviously at a position of great need for the Chargers. But let's start with some good news, guys. Travis Benjamin got extended. Well, you didn't think that you'd ever hear that thought come out of my mouth, but at the same time, it is actually kind of nice when you see what happened with the Travis Benjamin deal. So Travis Benjamin today technically got an extension through the 2020 season, which no Charger fan wants to hear. But at the same time, it's not as bad as you might think, because what this really is moving some of his money from next year that wasn't guaranteed to him this year to the front of his contract, getting rid of the rest of his guaranteed money and putting it into a non-guaranteed 2020 season. So this effectively actually seals, I think, Travis Benjamin's fate as far as being with the team past 2019. But in 2019, he's here to stay, David.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, hey, at least, you know, they freed up some money by doing this. They took basically, you know, like you said, most of his money that he was going to earn and turned it into a signing bonus. And so his base salary drops from $5.5 million to $1 million this season. And, you know, also in typical Tom Telesco fashion, you know, they built in a ripcord. So after this season, if he doesn't perform, he's gone. But unfortunately, Charger fans, this means that you're going to be having to be subjected to watching another year of Travis Benjamin on the Chargers.
Yeah, and for this specific contract deals, Field Yates reported today, so Benjamin's going to get a $3 million signing bonus this year. So if you think about really what it comes down to is, hey, this guy, no matter what, was going to be some dead money on your cap. He was already going to be $1.25 million towards your dead cap space if you were to cut him anyways. So now this way, you don't guarantee his next season. You move some of that money around and free up some money in the meanwhile. So basically, he gets a pay reduction for this year, gets another season on top of that, John. But I don't think he's ever going to see that season.
He's not going to see that season. Even if he was to do really good, there's no way he's seen 2020. But I think the bright side of this is you're not going to lose two of your receivers from the previous year. You already lost Tyrell Williams. Now you get to at least keep another guy. And the real question I have is, does this mean the Chargers are going to pick up another receiver or stick with Jeremy Davis now? Because I was really certain they were going to get rid of Travis Benjamin and have to draft a wide receiver to be your third wheel. And Jeremy Davis would just be that fourth guy that comes in every now and then. So I'm really curious what they're going to do with the wide receiver position in the draft.
I think that his salary this year now, when you're talking about the Chargers saving $2.75 million in cap space for this season by making this move, I think the amount that he's going to make this year now is much more fitting for a guy who really does one thing, and that is go deep, run fast. So I think now it's not as bad. You don't have a guy making upwards, you know, of a $5 million just to run deep routes and be kind of a decoy. Now you have a guy who's probably not going to be a main part of the equation, but can still have a role on this team for a much more reasonable price. And you're betting on guys like Artavis Scott, who comes back this year, Dylan Cantrell, and Jeremy Davis to kind of make up the rest of it, because I don't know if I see them drafting a wide receiver with this move, with the amount of question marks that they have behind Mike Williams, honestly. So we'll see what happens, but it definitely makes me think that something's up with Tom Telesco as far as, you know, he's moving money around. Is there a guy out there that he's thinking about signing? So I think that's something to be aware of as well. We all have good dreams on some nights, Sean. But let's go ahead and get into our voicemails. First of all, we have Luis here asking about some inside information about the draft and what it looks like when the team actually picks draft picks. I'll let you listen for yourself.
Hey, guys. Good morning out here from North Carolina. This is Luis, lifetime Chargers fan. Kind of a draft geek. And I was wondering if you guys can give us some behind-the-scenes information on what occurs during the draft. How does the team keep track of which players get drafted? Do they have a list? Does the NFL provide some sort of digital tracking system? Or is this just straight hand jamming it? Love the podcast. Love the Chargers. And wish you guys the best. Thank you.
All right, Luis. Well, I had a pretty good idea about what went on in the war room as far as what the Chargers do and what most teams do as far as having players on their board. Is it digital? Does the league give them a list of the draft eligible players, which would be a crazy long list when you think about how many players really don't even get a sniff as far as the draft goes? No, it really is just the basics. They use a board with magnets, basically. They have their own big board with magnets that they can take on and off and have their best players available and position groups and all of that. But it really is, John, just a physical taking names off the board and sticking them up there with magnets.
And to go with the list of eligible players, they basically have whoever they went and looked at, whoever they went and scouted and watched, went to pro days with. That's the guys they have on that board. Yeah, they probably know every single person that's eligible, and they'll have it on there somewhere. But the guys they were looking at, that they are considering, that they think is worth it, are the guys that are on those magnets. If they went to pro day and didn't like somebody, that guy's not on those magnets. Even though he's part of the thousands of guys that they've looked at over the last 4 years throughout college, it is not going to be a guy on that magnet. So it is basic and simple, just a magnet with a Sharpie written on there, who they like. And if that guy gets drafted, they take it off, erase it, move the magnets up, and they go from there. And they even have like a list of this. This is the guys we want in order. And if this guy goes, that guy goes. Even have positions ranked. So if they're looking for a defensive tackle, here's the four we like. Let's discuss them. It's really simple stuff.
Well, and you might not see guys that will obviously not be there as well as you would, you know, on an internet, you know, Mel Kiper's mock draft or something like that. They do have the guys they like. They know, you know, about where these guys should be, and they'll take, you know, the best players available off their board as those guys get drafted and guys they like come off or, you know, still be there at the position where they're picking. But it is kind of funny that they're still doing it, you know, kind of like you said, just straight ham jamming it, just putting names up there, taking names off. It's basically as simple as it needs to be. And, you know, there's no computer freezing or anything like that. It's all just them doing it themselves. Everybody can see the board and it works. So why change it? I think the more important part of it is what the conversations are when they're taking guys off the board and who likes it and who doesn't, which you obviously want in your war room, guys giving their opinions and not just one guy kind of unilaterally picking someone.
Because trust me, not everybody has the same idea and not all decisions are as easy as picking Derwin James number 17 overall.
It's all about, you know, finding the best talent while also filling needs. Are you going to take the best guy available, or are you going to try to fill a need like they did with Justin Jones in the third round last year? But anyways, we do have another call from Brian out of Westminster, one of our fans that calls in a lot, and we are super appreciative of the calls. Keep calling, Brian. Kind of regarding our talk on the last show about Josh Rosen and some other quarterbacks in this draft. Here, have a listen.
Hey, guys. Brian here out of Westminster. Quick question, kind of piggybacking on the Josh Rosen conversation that we had on last show. I've been seeing a couple of mock drafts, one notably for Mel Kiper on his grade A prediction mock about Will Greer going to the Chargers in the second round. I don't think we should access a quarterback there. I think there are more pressing needs, but what do you think of his assumption to go for Will Greer in the second round? I don't know that much about him, but if not, would there be any quarterback, if you had your pick other than Murray or Haskins, that you would pick in that second round or even the third round? I think we should probably wait. If we don't get Rosen, I think we should wait until next season. But given that information, what do you guys think? Any quarterback worth taking around that? And Will Greer, if we do or not, or if you do like to pick Will, what round do you think would be more appropriate for that selection? All right, thanks a lot. Go Bolts, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, well, so I'll start by saying this. I haven't gotten into a lot of the later round draft picks as far as quarterbacks. I am pretty read up on them. But as it so happens, we are talking about Will Greer on this show. And I know that John is particularly bullish on him and really loves him as a prospect. And he'll tell you why. It does come with some caveats as well. But you're lucky enough to get our draft profile on this same show. But as far as I'm concerned, if they were to wait until next year to draft a quarterback and what looks to be, but we're never totally certain, a better quarterback class than the one you're currently in, I think you at least have to entertain that, especially after bringing in Tyrod Taylor to back up Phillip Rivers for the next two seasons. So I think it's definitely on their board where they're going to take him. I would like it to be third round or later as far as a quarterback. I don't like the first round quarterbacks that could possibly drop them. I don't want Daniel Jones in the first round. I think you need an impact player. But like I said, we're going to be getting into that, talking about Will Greer coming up in the next segment. But Brian, also, we have one more call from you, and we're going to play that on the next show as far as, you know, possibly having a Locked On Chargers get together and type of meet and greet and just, you know, connect with the fans. So we're going to put out some feelers on that, and we'll play that voicemail on the next show. But let's go ahead and get into Will Greer coming up next. All right, guys, this is the first part of us going into players that we'd like to see the Chargers potentially take in the second and third rounds of the draft. We're going to be talking about a lot of players who might not necessarily be there in the third round. They might be in between the Chargers' two picks where we evaluate them at. But the first one today is Will Greer, who has, like we heard Brian from Westminster say, get mocked to the Chargers by Mel Kiper in his grade A draft, going to them in the late second round. John, I know that you have a lot of thoughts on Will Greer, a guy that his main knock is his arm strength, and that's what a lot of evaluators are saying. I know that you think, though, he can work through some of those issues.
Yeah, I do think he can work through some of those issues. Most of his issues are ones that I think Phillip Rivers can help fix if he was to be drafted to the Chargers. One of those, for example, the arm strength. I don't think it's exactly arm strength that's the issue. I think is he doesn't use his lower body into his throw. Sometimes he looks like he has flat-footed throws where he doesn't put his waist and his legs into the throw. You don't see the follow-through of the twist of the legs that go into the follow-through after the ball's gone. I think he could fix that with the help from Phillip Rivers, and even a quarterback coach could fix that type of stuff to get more of a zip on his throws. I've also seen him try to play hero ball. Not the Phillip Rivers hero ball where you're throwing it into three guys just trying to make a play happen. More of he tries to hold the ball as long as he can to try to make a play happen, and he ends up getting sacked. He needs to learn to just throw the ball out of bounds, which is something you could easily fix as well. I love how he can make his progressions and make his reads, and his pre-snap adjustments are really good. Rivers does that pretty well, so I'm sure Will Greer can even get better at his pre-snap adjustments and his reads. But when he throws the ball deep, you can see that he knows how to throw it accurately, and if you want to put more zip on the ball, put the legs into it.
Yeah, and I think it's yet to be determined if he can somehow, you know, manufacture some of that arm strength without just the Aaron Rodgers type of God-given abilities that just let him, you know, throw from off-balance platforms and make ridiculous throws by just basically using his upper body. But that was one of my main knocks on Will Greer outside of just the arm strength, was just his ability to throw when he's under pressure and the ability to throw when he's moved off of his spot by the pass rush or even when he's rolling out. I didn't see a lot of great things in those areas. I know in the Texas game, I mean, there was a 3 or 4 play span where just every time he was moved off his spot, even with no immediate pass rush, but guys in his face, and he airmailed some easy throws. I think sometimes he throws off of his back foot, which isn't a great tendency to do, especially when you don't have a great arm. But at the same time, guys, there's a lot to love about this guy, and I think he gets an unfair rap as far as the criticisms, which I think a lot of them are true, but I think there's also some major areas where he excelled at that don't get talked about enough. I mean, if he does have a clean pocket, John, like you said, he is a great passer. Pro Football Focus had him as the second highest graded passer in the country when he has a clean pocket, a 93.7 grade in those instances, and a passer rating of 132.7, which is absolutely ridiculous. Yes, he's going against Big 12 defenses. Yes, he's going against wide open zones and coverage, but there were a lot of tight throws in there as well. He threw some balls into pretty tight coverage and has really good accuracy. He puts the ball where he wants it and in a good position for receivers to get really good yards after the catch, and also just putting it in a place where the defender can't get it, especially over the middle of the field. David, I know you watched some of Will Grier's games as well. What did you think about Will Grier when you watched him?
So some of my thoughts when I was watching Will Grier is he had some escapability. You know, he can get away a little bit, but I think he needs to understand that he's not Michael Vick. he doesn't have incredible elusiveness, but he can get away and extend the play a little bit. He's very, very accurate on the short and medium throws. I mean, if he gets, you know, like you said, gets that clean pocket and gets that first quick read, man, he's usually always on target. I didn't see him really go through progressions that much, at least not complicated progressions. Seemed like everything was very simple, a lot of timing routes, a lot of short and medium throws. The deep ball looked pretty good on some occasions, but for me, from what I was watching, it's hot and cold. He wasn't always on, but hey, for a young quarterback to have a good deep ball when it's on, I mean, that's definitely something to work with. And then I said, you know, you just got some good talent. But I think, you know, piggybacking off of John's point, if he gets behind a veteran quarterback that can just kind of refine some of those issues that Will Grier has, I think he has, you know, the tools to be a productive quarterback in the NFL.
And I want to use Aaron Rodgers as an example, but I just can't because Aaron – Brett Favre didn't teach Aaron Rodgers much when he was sitting there learning for a few years. But it's kind of the same effect where we have him sitting there for a while and he learns some stuff from Rivers. He could probably be that next guy we need. But I want to go to Brian's point earlier of if we don't get him, who should we get? I want to ask you, Daniel. There's a guy from Boise State that we could probably get in the 5th or 6th round named Brett Rypien, who completed about 65% of his passes and was a pretty on-target quarterback as far as doing the same things Will Grier does with making his reads and throwing the quick routes and even throwing the deep routes. Would you be interested in a guy like that in the late rounds if you don't want a guy in the any earlier than the 3rd?
Yeah, as far as Brett Rypien goes, I mean, obviously I still have to watch more games, but I did see a few of his games actually during the season. And I tell you that he was pretty accurate. He did play in like a more of a spread system. So a lot of throws like Will Grier's making, which is really quick throws. He has a guy that he wants to go to and gets the ball there accurately. But I mean, I'm definitely more interested in looking towards the later rounds if you want to pick a developmental guy. So I think he's a name to have on the list, absolutely. But as far as Will Grier goes, I think, you know, when he knows where he wants to go, as far as deciphering what's happening quickly at the line of scrimmage, knowing exactly where to attack a team's weak spot quickly, that's something he excels at. He's good at getting rid of the ball quickly. Some of the things I worry about, though, is just every quarterback comes under pressure. Are you going to be able to get a guy who's not going to try to escape it, hold the ball too long, get sacked? Are you going to have a guy who's not going to throw kind of jump balls off of his back foot? And I think those are legitimate concerns because when he has moved off his spot, he's just not the same quarterback. And it's hard to really gauge how his skills are going to translate at the next level as far as, hey, is he going to be able to throw that deep out without letting it get undercut? Is he going to be able to throw that deep comeback without it being, you know, undercut with good timing and being able to throw it right as the receiver breaks. Because after that, if you're talking about over the shoulder throws, deep balls for a guy who has questions about arm strength, the arm strength does not have to do with the deep balls. I thought he was an exceptional deep ball thrower and put the ball just in great spots, especially over the top, has really good loft on his ball. The ball kind of gets that trajectory high up in the air to really fall into the basket of the receiver and make it super easy on them to make a catch. So he is a guy, John, that you could see him throwing to Mike Williams on the outside, back shoulders, fade routes, and you could also see him attack the middle with a guy like Keenan Allen. The Chargers have weapons that would utilize what he does well.
Yeah, and that's something that I was looking at earlier when I was watching him in West Virginia. When I saw some of the routes they were running, I felt like I was watching some of the Chargers type of routes that you would see running with Keenan Allen, running quick slant routes, and he would hit those on the money because he could read the defense beforehand. And with Mike Williams' ability to go deep, I think he would be a perfect combination of talent to quarterback, especially since these guys will probably play a little bit longer than Phillip Rivers will. I think it would be perfect to bring him into this system. But the one thing that you have to make sure he does is work on using that lower body, because in the NFL, you got to be able to hit those routes even faster than he did in college with how fast teams react. You see how fast Rivers zings a quick slant to Keenan Allen off of a one-step throw. So if Will Greer can't get the lower body into it, then you're probably not going to even have to really draft him. You could probably go for someone in the later rounds, even Ryan Finley, who's expected to be in the third round maybe.
Ryan Finley is the guy that I'm excited to watch because he's another guy that, I mean, even since the beginning, guys have, you know, linked to the Chargers as far as their interest. Obviously, Phillip Rivers, that NC State quarterback, and I don't think you're getting him, but I'm excited to watch him. And my thing with Will Greer is I think, honestly, he's a quarterback, so he might get taken before he should. He could have a massive drop like you've seen out of some guys in the past. But to me, he's more of a third-round pick than a second-round pick. But I could see why the Chargers would draft him if he did. But I do think there's some legitimate concerns. At the same time, I think there's a legitimate reason to think that he could turn into a good NFL quarterback and not just a backup, as a lot of people have him pegged to be.
So let's bottom line this. Are you interested in the Chargers taking Will Greer in the second or third round?
Second, no. Third, it depends who's available, but I would be okay with it. And you could make the argument to me where I would be okay with it. That's as far as it goes with me. I would not want him in the second round. I think there's guys that could help you in the more immediate future and really, you know, help you in this Phillip Rivers window, which is something we always talk about. I want guys that can help Phillip Rivers get to a Super Bowl. But I could be talked into someone with a later pick, especially a third-round pick where the Chargers have had little to no success since Keenan Allen. I could be talked into that, absolutely. But we ran long on Will Greer. I knew that we would. It's not that big of a deal, but we do have one more guy that I want to talk about, and that is defensive tackle Kalen Saunders out of Western Illinois coming up in the next segment. All right, guys. Well, a couple of shows ago, we were breaking down an FCS prospect out of Delaware in Nazir Adderley. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about another guy in the FCS showing that, you know, good players can come from the lower levels of college football. It doesn't have to be a Power 5 school for good players to develop and, you know, be NFL prospects. And there's another example here with Kalen Saunders out of Western Illinois, which if you haven't heard of that school, I do not blame you. And when you see the footage of this guy and you watch the film, it's not necessarily the high grade film that you're used to. You know, a lot of grainy footage coming out of the FCS still, apparently. But I am excited to talk about this guy. This is a guy that a lot of people that have linked to the Chargers, you know, in the third round area of the draft. So we did watch some Kalen Saunders football. So David, give me your first impressions of a guy that would fit a major need at defensive tackle.
So we got Kalen Saunders, 6'3", 324, showed some ability as a pass rusher. He was very versatile. They asked him to do a couple of things, and he was able to get some type of pressure, which was good. You know, any type of pass rusher ability from an interior defensive lineman is something you want to highlight, even if it's just a small part of his game. For me, it kind of looked like he took some of his plays off. And, you know, you don't really necessarily like to see that. It just seemed like he got washed out or moved off his spot more often than you'd like a guy who you expect to take on double teams and, you know, try to get penetration in the run game. So I think he's really more suited, Daniel, as a guy where you give him one assignment and tell him to execute that assignment to perfection.
Yeah, and I think that's what we were talking about pre-show, just because his tools are very raw. We'll put it that way. He's a very much an incomplete player as far as a pass rush. I mean, he got pass rush, and he'd had some good moments in the running game, but it almost primarily came from just overpowering people and just out-physicaling people at the FCS level, which is not something that's sustainable in the NFL. I mean, those are some of the red flags, absolutely. I think as far as his athleticism for a guy that size, he's not super twitchy. He doesn't get that great burst off the line, has some, you know, late off the snap times at points. But at the same time, once he gets going, I mean, he's super athletic. He has a good change of directions. He can penetrate gaps, especially if he's just assigned, like the Chargers do on their defensive front, with, hey, this is your gap, this is your responsibility, don't get out of there, get through it type of a situation. So that's what I see, John. It's definitely a project type of a player. But, I mean, it's a guy where you just say, if he's in the right fit, you could see something. And I think the Chargers might be one of those teams.
They could be one of those teams, because as you mentioned, he could be that guy that could own that one gap or that one assignment that you give him, and he could be rotated in to do that instead of being the full-time starter.
But what is that worth? You know, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, as I was about to say, I don't think that's something that the Chargers should go after personally. I feel like we need to get somebody who can be much more than a one-gap guy, someone that can bully somebody, someone that could take over maybe two gaps if he was able to maneuver around offensive linemen by going through one gap and then being able to switch to another based on his read of a running back kind of thing. Someone where you can bait a running back in. My thing with him is I watched a few games of his, and when he played against someone that was worth it, like North Dakota State, who has some decent offensive linemen that are championship worthy, he had a hard time getting off of those guys sometimes. And during other teams, he would absolutely blow up guys. He would run them over. He would use his hand motions to get guys off of him, and he would get in the backfield with no trouble at all. So I want to say it's more of an inconsistency to be a pass rusher and a run stuffer with getting off of blocks. I feel like if he was to go in the NFL, he would have to really, really work hard to move up and be as good as he was against those worst teams in the NFL. I personally would not want to draft him with a second or third round pick. I'd go fourth or fifth round if I was to get him. I'd much more like someone that's more of a bull rusher that can push an offensive lineman back. Even if that's all he can do is just push offensive lineman into the backfield, I would prefer that, because that alone could get into someone's way, and he's not that guy.
No, he's not necessarily that guy. And I think the question is, can he turn into a player that could potentially, you know, be a three down lineman? And I think you could make the argument one way or the other, but I think no argument would be made without just referencing it would take a ton of coaching to do. Because, John, even in the North Dakota State game, when he was losing his one-on-one battles, it wasn't due to physical. It wasn't due to his physicality. Nothing to do with that. It's all to do with his leverage, his hand placement, letting offensive linemen get inside of his frame and move him around. Those are all things, you know, that you have to work on. But it's not as if he just got bullied by the big boys because he wasn't strong enough. He wasn't able to stay in his gap. It was just, hey, you're not using the right technique, and these are the type of guys that are going to make you pay for it. So exactly. I think
and the NFL will make you pay for it even worse, because they will study you, and they are way faster with their hands than those guys are.
And they are, but that's the thing, is you're also coaching this guy to potentially be able to hang with guys like that, you know? So that's what you're saying. Are you able to do that with this guy? Because he has the potential to be that, but can you turn him into that? And when you're talking about a project like that, I'm not touching that in the second round. I would say maybe late third round. I think I understand your grade as far as a fourth and a fifth round pick. I would have his grade around a late third or early fourth round pick. I think some team will take him there, because what do teams love? They love potential, and they love the thought of being able to take a guy like that and mold them into what they need. So I think that's all important. And I don't think you want to reach for this guy. He's not that type of player that's going to be an instant impact right off the bat. You just don't know. But could you turn him into a rotational piece that could, you know, end up getting some playing time this year? Absolutely. Does he have the potential to be more than that? Yes, but can you tap into it? That's a huge question mark. So I think with a project like this, you know, late third round, it sounds about right to me. I could see why they would do it, but I would definitely feel more comfortable if it was later than that, because I'm not as willing to say that this is a sure thing. I think the ceiling can be pretty high, but I think the floor could be pretty low. So, David, just before we move on, I think we know where John stands on it. Would you want the Chargers to take him in the third round?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think I'd be really comfortable taking him in the third round. I think I'm leaning towards more of John's assessment of this guy. I think Saunders has a couple of things to work with, but I think he's just too much of a project to take in the top half of the draft.
Yeah, totally understandable. I think, you know, but you see the potential. You see a guy who could potentially brush the passer with a, you know, a good snatch and rip move, has good upper body strength, can throw people around at times. And when he has leverage, he can be an anchor in a gap and be very hard to move out of the way. But too many question marks. I think I would be the most willing to potentially spend a third round pick on this guy. I think the Chargers have done decently as far as coaching their interior of their defensive line. They just haven't had a lot of skill. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. On the next show, we'll be talking about some more guys in these type of rounds that we'd be, you know, maybe happier with than the guys that we chose today. Get some more positive draft profiles and guys we would like to see them pick with these picks in the next show. And then also finish off the voicemails, which you can reach at 323-524-7924. If you send us your voicemail, your voice will get on the show. But until next time, guys, make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, to see all the updates and questions we have. The schedule will be out by the next time we record, so we'll also talk about that as well. And make sure you don't miss it by subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from, whether that's Himalaya, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. And it's almost our turn, guys, on the Locked On NFL Mock Draft podcast, where we give you who we would pick in the first round if we were the Chargers. That's coming soon. If you do want to listen to the first couple parts, the higher picks in the first round, those are out right now. Hear who our experts think is going to get taken in the draft. I will tell you one thing, it's much different than you're seeing on a lot of mock drafts. So it's definitely good to hear those guys' opinions on it. And you can do that by subscribing, by following Locked On NFL Net on Twitter, where they are posting all the shows at, and we will share them as well. But that's it for today. So we will talk to you guys soon later on in the week. Take it easy and go Bolts.